I want to return this morning to our series of messages in the Gospel of the Servant, the Gospel according to Mark. We have reached a certain stage in the early ministry of the Lord, as recorded in Mark's Gospel. And once again, we see our Lord Jesus doing that which the servant of the Lord ought to do. He is the great example for all who would serve. We've already said that the Gospel of Mark contains a record of the works of Christ in particular, the deeds of the servant. It's not that his words are totally missing, but the emphasis is mostly upon his works, the works that prove him to be who he says he is. Now, everything that the servant does is important. Every fact that is recorded of the Lord's earthly life, every word he spoke, every action he performed, ought to be of interest to all who themselves would be servants of God. To the Christian, the Lord Jesus is a great example. If we would be servants of Christ, we ought to pay earnest heed to the behavior of the one who is himself the perfect servant of Jehovah. And here is a very instructive and challenging incident from his earthly life and ministry in Mark's Gospel from verse 35. The narrative here refers specifically to the place of prayer in the life of the divine servant. Let's read it together, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. This is just one of many references in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, to the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the place of prayer in the life of Christ and in the ministry of Christ is certainly worthy of our study. And so today this is going to be what we're going to meditate upon. And there are several matters for us to note regarding the place of prayer in the ministry of Jesus Christ, the servant of the Lord. First of all, the place of prayer was a place that was appreciated. The place of prayer was a place that was appreciated by the Lord Jesus Christ. The place of prayer was greatly prized by him. He desired to be in the place of prayer. He desired to be in communion with God the Father. And that is obvious when you note the various references to prayer that are given in the earthly life of Jesus. I just want to mention a few of them. If you go back with me to Matthew's Gospel, to chapter 14 and verse 23, the scripture says there, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Again, when we return to Mark's Gospel, this time chapter 6 and verse 46, it tells us in that verse, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray." Mark chapter 14 then, and verse 32, another reference to this activity. Mark 14, 32, "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray." And there are many references in the Gospel of Luke to the prayer ministry of Christ. Chapter 3, verse 21, for example. "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened." Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And then chapter 9 of Luke's Gospel, verses 28 and 29. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. The place of prayer in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the life of Christ, was indeed prominent. The Son of God, in the days of his flesh, was a man of prayer. You'll notice just from these references I gave that he prayed alone. There's private prayer. But you'll also notice that in the reference that I just gave in Luke chapter 9, he took James and John and Peter with him and went up into a mountain to pray. So he believed in corporate prayer. He believed in gatherings for prayer. The Lord Jesus was a man of prayer. And what an example he is, therefore, to every servant of the Lord. He appreciated the value and the vital importance of seeking the face of God. He prayed. The place of prayer was a place that was appreciated by him. Do you appreciate the place of prayer? What place does it have in your life? The Savior prized the place of prayer despite the busyness of his life. I want you to notice this. In Mark chapter 1, we see that the Lord is full of activity. He doesn't have a minute's peace. He's always on the go. Look with me at verses 32 and 33 of chapter 1. And at even, that's near the night time, when the sun did set, that's near the end of the day, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. There's this massive crowd of people, all clamoring for the Lord's attention. Go down to verse 37. And when they had found him, this is after he had gone into the solitary place to pray, Simon and those that were with him followed after him, verse 36 records. And when they had found him, verse 37, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. Lord, people are looking for you. People are wanting your attention. And yet we notice here that in spite of the busyness of his life, he took time and he made time for prayer. It has rightly been said, if you're too busy to pray, then you're too busy. And I think all other things being equal, we know that people have commitments, there are things that you have to do that would keep you from the prayer meeting. But that goes for the church prayer meetings as well. We should pray. The church should pray. And I don't know what kind of a church it is that doesn't think that prayer is important. In Psalm 55, verse 17, the psalmist said this, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. The Muslims who pray to a God who doesn't exist, they pray 5 times per day. 5 times. I remember very well, for a short period of time in high school, a young Muslim attended alongside me, used to sit beside me. And 5 times a day, he would take time to face Mecca and pray, said his prayers. Now that's a false religion. But do we pray? Daniel, we read of him in Scripture, in the book of Daniel, that with all the business of a kingdom on his hands, he could still pray 3 times a day. He took time out. and faced Jerusalem, thought about the temple and the sacrifice. And at the hour of prayer, Daniel was praying three times a day. There's a little chorus to that effect. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily he prayed three times, even when they had him cast in the den of lions. Now, I would suggest that the Lord Jesus Christ appreciated the praise of prayer all the more because of his busy schedule. He appreciated the ability to take time out from the busyness of his life. Martin Luther used to say that on those days that he had more to do in ministry, he would spend a longer time in prayer in his study. Now that seems really curious, doesn't it? That seems weird. You've got more to do, so you spend more time in God's presence in prayer. Well, that's what Luther did, because he believed that he needed the help of the Lord. Our Lord appreciated the place of prayer despite the busyness of his life, but we could also say this, that he relished the place of prayer despite the bed where he lay. You see this in verse 35 of Mark chapter 1. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day. That means he got out of bed to pray. It was still dark. It was a great while before day. Others obviously were still in their beds. And not only that, the Lord had been very busy on the previous day. Just notice that carefully. Again in verse 32, at even, this is toward evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. The Lord, it says there in verse 34, healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils. He was really busy right up until the evening of the previous day. But then it says in verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and prayed. He got up out of bed to pray. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that says that you have to pray in the morning. But it certainly suggested that the morning may be the best time to seek God. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray. It's always good to begin the day properly. It was said of, I believe it was Robert Murray McShane, that he would get up in the morning and he would pull back the curtains and he would say, Lord, perhaps today. He would be thinking about the fact that Christ may come for him. But he would always pray. We should begin the day properly. In the book of Psalms, we have a couple of references to this. In particular, Psalm 5 and verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Again, in Psalm 88 and verse 13. The scripture says this, but unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. It means come before thee. So there you have it. I think the reason why the morning might be best for many is that when you procrastinate and put off your time of devotion, you'll find that events will get on top of you and you'll either not have it at all or you'll fall asleep in the middle of it at night. So it's a good habit to get with God first thing in the morning. And it doesn't necessarily have to be for a long time. But it's important that we value communion with God. My quiet time alone with God is really important. It was important to Christ. And yet he was the Son of God and is the Son of God. If he felt it important to pray, should not we? But not only can we say that the place of prayer was a place that was appreciated, the place of prayer was a place that was appointed. It was appointed. Now obviously this was our Lord's habit. It's good to get into holy habits. And the Lord certainly had holy habits in His life. Listen to the words of the Old Testament. It's really a prophetic word in Isaiah chapter 50. It's verse 4. And it's Christ who is in view here. Isaiah 50 verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Morning by morning. Each day the Lord had an appointment to keep with his heavenly Father. He had a disciplined life of devotion. And so it was with David, who's a type of Christ. Again, let me refer to the Psalms. In Psalm 86 and verse number 3, the scripture says this: Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. That's every day. And again, in Psalm 88 verse 9, Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee every day. Again, if we can refer to Daniel, it was each and every day that he prayed unto the Lord. And you can read that in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Christ had regular habits in prayer. Now, obviously, He is God. He is God. But He's God manifest in flesh. He lived on earth as a man in dependence as our mediator upon God. These are matters that are difficult for us to understand. It's hard for us to get our head around this. What does it mean? Well, I was reading Bishop Ryle on this, and he said this about the prayer life of Christ. His Godhead did not render him independent of the use of all means as a man. His very perfection was a perfection kept up through the exercise of prayer, unquote. Now, prayer for the Christian is a daily necessity. And we need to keep our appointments with God every day. There was a famous preacher who, when people would come to visit his home, would always, at a certain time of the evening, stand up, greet his guests, and say good night to them. He said, I must go now, for I have a daily appointment that I must keep. He would leave the room, and he would go to a place in his own house there to seek the Lord in prayer and in the Word. And we would say, how rude. What an ignoramus. He's got people over to the house, and at a certain time he says to them, good night, folks, I have an appointment to keep. Maybe that's not your way. Maybe it's not my way. But maybe that's why he was such a mighty man of God. Because the Lord came first. It's not that the people had just been there, you know, for 10 minutes. They'd been there for quite a lengthy period of time. And it was time for them to go. Sometimes people don't know when it's time to go. But he didn't care. He really didn't. Because he had that daily thing in his life that he felt it was necessary to have. He must meet with his Father regularly. Now, if that's true of Christ, then how much more should it be true of me? Because our Lord has taught us, hasn't He? By His example, but also by His words, to meet daily with God. We've all learned from childhood, no doubt, at least most of us, I would certainly think, the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, we have this petition in the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice it's not give us bread for this week. It's not Lord give us bread for this month. It is give us this day our daily bread. because it's something we should seek every day. And Luke's version of the prayer is really similar. In Luke chapter 11, verse 3, the words are, "Give us day by day our daily bread." Give us day by day. That's the place of prayer. It is an appointed place. Not only in the life of Christ was it a place that was appreciated, not only was it a place that was appointed, but it was a place that was apart. And we've referred to this already. Let us read the verse once more. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." In the other references I gave, it mentions that he went into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. He was there alone in a place apart. A solitary place. The multitudes had to be left behind. He had to shut out the world and get to a place apart with God. Here's private devotion. It's exemplified by the perfect servant. And as I say, not only was it exemplified, but it was exhorted and encouraged by Christ. In those words, the Lord's Prayer aforementioned, but this time Matthew 6, verse 6, the Lord Jesus said, "But thou," notice it, "when thou prayest." And that's actually something that he repeated. In Matthew 6, verse 5, he says, "And when thou prayest." Verse 6, "But thou when thou prayest." Verse 7, "But when ye pray." Notice it's not if, it's when. "When thou prayest." The Lord Jesus himself was often found in the secret place. And what about you? Do you have a secret place? A place where you can get alone with God. It doesn't have to be literally a closet. You know, sometimes we could take the word of God just absolutely literally. "Thou, when thou prayest," Matthew 6, verse 6, "enter into thy closet." You know, shut yourself in a cupboard or something like that. That's not necessary. What is being taught here is the importance of getting apart from everything and everyone else. You don't have your phone on while you're going to pray and read the word. You shut it off. You don't answer calls unless it was an absolute emergency, because you're getting apart with God. The secret place. What is the secret place? It's the place of prayer. It's the place of power. I have a book at home by D.L. Moody, and that's the title of it, "The Secret Place of Power." And every man who has power and has had power in ministry was, without exception, a man of prayer. Because you see, this is how we receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Look with me again at those words in Luke chapter 11. The Lord taught them to pray, but interestingly, it was in the context of his own praying. Notice how Luke chapter 11 begins. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased," it's never good to interrupt people when they're praying. It was when he stopped. It was when he ceased. "One of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And then he taught them the words of the Lord's Prayer as a pattern for prayer, not to be repeated by rote like a parrot, but as a template for your praying. This is how you should pray. This is the manner in which you are to pray. And then the Lord spoke a parable. And in connection with that parable, of a son coming to ask for bread or for a fish or for an egg, the Lord Jesus said this in verse 13 of Luke 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And you might say, well, as a Christian, well, don't I already have the Holy Spirit? Yes, he indwells you. The Lord Jesus said that the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, he would be with you and he would be in you. He would dwell in you. But this is something different. This is not just the indwelling Spirit. This is someone who's already indwelt by the Spirit praying so that his Heavenly Father would give the Holy Spirit to him because he asks him. This is the power of the Spirit. Power to live. Power to witness. Power to serve the Lord. That's what we need. I need power to preach. I can't do this myself. We need to learn, like Jesus did, to get into a place that is apart. To shut yourself away from the clamor and the noise and the crowd. And get alone with God. And seek the Lord's face. You know what the Lord told Moses? That he would meet with him at the mercy seat. And the Bible tells us of Moses that he was one whom the Lord knew face to face. He knew what it was to be in the place of prayer. But I have to say as well as this, that the place of prayer that was appreciated by Christ, the place of prayer that was appointed for Christ and for us, the place of prayer that was a place apart, is also for many a place that is avoided. Let's be completely frank and honest here. The Lord Jesus was in the place of prayer because he desired the place of prayer. He loved to be there, obviously, because it was his daily habit. This is something that he desired. Now, one thing I know as a preacher, I can't inculcate within the hearts of people a desire for prayer. I can announce, for example, prayer meetings till I'm blue in the face and people will never come if they haven't got a desire to be there. I can talk all I like about you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do the other thing, but it'll never happen unless the Lord puts it into the heart. Do you have a desire for prayer? Because frankly, in this world and in the church, the professing church, there are many who seem to want to avoid that secret place. Look at Psalm 53. And it does certainly describe many in our world today. Psalm 53 and verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You'll see that in your authorized version, the words there is are italicized. They're in italics because the original is strictly, the fool hath said in his heart, no God. The sense of it is, the fool has said in his heart, no God for me. You know, we often use this as the evidence for atheism. We'll say, well, there are many like this, and they're fools. They say there is no God. And that's true. But it's more proper to think of it this way. There are many, and they say, and they're fools, they say in their hearts, no God for me. You can have God. You can believe in God. You can go to church. You can be religious, but no God for me. I don't need God. I don't want God. I don't want any place for God in my life. And therefore they don't pray. They have no desire to call upon God. You see this in the very same Psalm. Psalm 53 verse 4. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? Look at this. They have not called upon God. That's a mark of these people. They don't pray. They have not called upon God. Again, it goes further in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 10 and verse 25. For there it actually speaks of families. Interestingly, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 25. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. The families that call not on thy name. People who don't pray, and they don't even pray within the family. The place of prayer is avoided by many. The place of prayer is avoided by the Christless, obviously. The godless sinner. He has no desire to commune with God, either privately and certainly not publicly at prayer meetings. Are there not many in this world, and they rise every morning and they lie down every night without so much as a word to the Lord? Are such people ready for heaven? Are such people to be considered Christians? I agree with the old preacher who said, God has no dumb children. He has no dumb children. They all speak to him and with him. One commentator wrote this: the spirit of adoption will always make a man call upon God. To be prayerless is to be Christless. One of our hymns puts it like this: prayer is the Christian's native breath, the Christian's native air, his watchword at the gates of death. He enters heaven with prayer. Oh, how important it is. But the Christless have no time for prayer. The place of prayer means nothing to them. But not only the Christless, I think it's avoided also by the careless. And we can be very careless as regard to, and in regard to our personal devotional habits. We can become very, very careless. There are some who do pray, but they give very little time at all to it. And how the practice of our Lord Jesus would serve to rebuke such. Think about this, what it records there in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Now just let that sink into your heart. He continued all night in prayer to God. This was a protracted season of prayer. Now why do you think this was? Look at the next verse. Luke 6 verse 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Now, I think there's an example that the Lord is setting for us here. When you've got some big decision to make, when you've got something that you're facing in your life that you need the Lord's help with, you need to spend some time with God about that matter. We need to be diligent in prayer. We need to jealously guard our appointments with God at the throne of grace. And I say this as one who realizes that it is incumbent upon both preacher and people. One of the things that our ministers are asked when they're ordained, and even following that every year when they're examined by the presbytery, is, are they diligent in all personal and private matters in regard to devotion? Listen to the words of those in Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, the apostolic band at the time. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We'll give ourselves to it. This is not just something we do now and again. We are going to give ourselves continually to prayer
and to the ministry of the word. See, the ministry of the word will fall to the ground unless it is accompanied by this continual prayer. But how careless we can become. The Lord not only prayed before he was going to choose those 12 disciples, those apostles, but we also learn that he prayed before he preached. Here in Mark chapter 1, in verse 35, the text that we've taken, it says that in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Then verses 38 and 39, he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. So prior to the Lord going preaching, he's found in that place, that solitary place where he prayed. How easy it is to become careless in that regard. Sometimes we can look to our own preparation. We've got our notes, we've got our sermons, we've got everything in order, and so all will be well. Well, if the Lord by his Spirit doesn't apply it to hearts, all will not be well. Because without him, we can do nothing. How we must look to the Lord to give the increase. But how easy it is to become careless in our daily habits of devotion. You'll know this as a Christian. You'll know this without me telling you. I would refer to the preacher who always, when he went to someone's home, would never use his own Bible. He would always, when he was going to read the scripture and pray, ask the people in the home for their Bible. And some of the scrambling that used to go on was unreal, according to this man. I heard him talk about it. Some people couldn't even remember where their Bible... Where did we leave the Bible last Sunday? It's now Saturday. Is that how it is with you? You pick up your Bible on a Lord's Day and you don't pick it up again until next Lord's Day. It should not be. It should not be. Yes, the flesh is strong. I know that. Yes, the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. I know that. That's what Jesus said in the garden to the disciples. Matthew 26, verse 40 and 41. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Just 1 hour, Peter. That's all I wanted. And then he said this, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. How careless we can become when it comes to the matter of prayer. And yet the Bible tells us, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That means keep on praying. It says, same author, different book, Colossians 4 and verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us. Don't forget to pray for the preacher. Our Lord Jesus taught men that they ought always to pray and not to faint. And those are words in Luke chapter 18 that literally have the idea behind them of to pray and not to cave in. Oh, how easy it is to cave in and to give up and to cease and just to stop. The Lord never did that. The Lord was a man of prayer. And if this is the way the master went, should not the servant tread it still? And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Lord, teach us to pray. May that be the very prayer of our hearts today. Lord, teach us to pray. If you want to be like Christ, then this is one area that needs attention. because he was a man of prayer. May God help us to pray.